Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Thursday morning, Thursday, October the 9th, 2025, 10-9-25, 16 minutes past the hour, and it definitely feels like autumn more and more as we go along this week. There is a frost advisory in effect this morning, 40 degrees right now, but you know, we go from, where were we on Monday? 85, 86 to a frost advisory on Thursday. That is how you get to autumn quick in a season in which the cooler temperatures came late. Do want to remind everybody, the Kroger on 95 is having their kids' night out on October 27th, 5 to 7 p.m. Join them for fun and games and spooky prizes. They will also be collecting new and gently used coats and hats and gloves to donate to the Salvation Army. That's the kids' night out, October 27th, 5 to 7 p.m., Kroger on Route 95 here in Marion. I believe they used to call that the Kroger at the Eastland Town Center, I think is what they used to call that. Okay, so we've got that out of the way. Well, phone lines are open as always. If there's anything on your mind, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. We've talked a lot this week about Monday night city council, and I think a lot of that deserved to be talked about. We've heard from quite a few people who've called in over the last few days, and I think we've said pretty well everything that needs to be said about that. But if there's still anything that's bothering you, or you did not call in and talk about it and would like to say something about it, feel free. We had Brenda Donegan yesterday, our friend Lee called in, Naomi called in, Terry Klein called in. So we had a good amount of calls and good amount of perspective yesterday on what's going on downtown here in Marion. So again, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Now, there is something on the news this morning that a lot of people, we also posted it on the Facebook page, the social media page, that seems to be causing a bit of a stir with certain people. It's that Anthony Azaria, and I know I'll screw this up, but he has made a donation, I believe it's to Trans Ohio. $120-something. Now, a lot of people, for whatever reason, have something to say about this. Now, I'm not really sure why this strikes such a chord with people. Now, it's my understanding that there was supposed to be a fundraiser last Saturday, I think, that Anthony was having. And I'm not going to say what the fundraiser was, but it had something to do with this, because I don't want to misrepresent it, and I don't have all the details. And I think that fundraiser got canceled. So this must have been the money that they had already raised, and they sent it on to a trans group. So I'm not sure why this has brought out an interesting side to people. I don't know. If anybody would like to shed some light on this, I'd be interested to know. 740-383-9944. I'm not exactly sure what it is about that. Now, maybe it's because they feel that this is not a good move for a political candidate with less than a month away from an election to be talking about. Maybe this is something you're not supposed to talk about in Marion, Ohio, or get involved with. I have no idea. I really don't know what the connotation or what the issue is with it. But if anybody does, let me know. 740-383-9944. I'm not really sure about that one, but there does seem to be some kind of dust-up with that. I don't know if that would hurt a candidate. I don't know if that would help a candidate. I really don't know. I can't imagine that somebody who is a 6th ward voter, that this would be a big issue for them, but it might be, I guess. I don't know. I really don't know. But it's different. I'll give people that. It's different. It's not something you normally hear from a city council candidate, which is kind of interesting because I've been thinking for a long time that people running for city council seem to be talking a lot more about national issues and issues that have national significance than local issues that they would actually deal with on city council. Now, I don't know what started that trend, but it certainly is an interesting trend. So I don't know. Does anybody think this is a good or bad move as far as the election goes, which is a month away, less than a month away? If you have any opinions, give me a buzz, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Well, we've got our holiday Halloween jack-o'-lantern light on this morning. I did remember to shut it off yesterday, so I feel good about that. And no pictures were knocked on the floor today. Yesterday, we had the two pictures that somehow came off the wall after 2 years. In one of those pictures, the glass broke, so we had to get rid of the glass. But we're moving right along here, you know. We survive. The pictures go back up on the wall. One of them no longer has any glass in it, but, you know, that's the way it goes when the glass breaks. I guess you have to buy a new frame to fix that problem. You know, I was reading something yesterday that I thought was interesting. Now, I guess this comes from a study. I guess this is one of those studies that's out there. Most people have a hard time forgetting embarrassing moments. A post from Hartford Healthcare says it's because emotional moments leave a deep impact. Now, isn't that interesting? Now, think about that for a moment. Most people have a hard time forgetting embarrassing moments. So you do something, it embarrasses you, you have a hard time forgetting this. Well, the people at Hartford Healthcare are saying it's because emotional moments leave a deep impact in your mind. And that's why it's harder to forget than maybe somebody's name or where you left your keys or happy moments or sad moments. But I guess, you know, as I read this, if it's a sad moment, I would guess that would leave an emotional tie in your mind, I would guess. I guess that would be considered an emotional moment. I don't know. What do people think about this morning? Do you think that we have a hard time forgetting embarrassing moments and maybe moments that are traumatic? I think a traumatic moment would be considered one of these because they leave a deep impact in our mind. I guess maybe this is the whole idea behind a compliment is easier to forget. A compliment is easier to forget than something negative. I don't know. Go ahead, caller.
It takes 1,000 attaboys to repair the damage that one you're not good enough does.
Yeah. Well, but you know, well, it's interesting to me because when I read this, I thought, you know, it is funny. If you have an embarrassing moment, whether people want to admit it or not, they usually do not forget it or the feeling they had when it happens.
Oh, no. I mean, we can all probably go back to middle school and relive the most humiliating thing that happened to us.
Right.
But the word you were looking for when you said sad, you're like, it probably leaves. It's called a scar, Spears. That's the word you're looking for. It leaves an emotional scar when sad things happen.
Yeah, it probably does, but I...
No, there's no probably. Has nothing bad ever happened to you in your whole life?
Well, I'm sure it has. Maybe it just didn't scar me in that way. Because here's the thing, and I don't want to be jokey about this, but, you know, I've made mistakes, obviously, and said the wrong thing, and I do remember that, but I don't know if it's as vivid as it is with other people, because some people really relive those moments all the time.
Well, and that's when, if you have a good counselor, they help you work through reliving those moments all the time. You're not supposed to look back, you're supposed to look forward, and you're not supposed to do the what-ifs and all those sort of things.
No, so. But I guess why this story struck me was that I had never heard it exactly explained that way. That because it had a deep impact on you, it remains with you. And I thought, you know, trivial things, like you get up in the third grade and you know, maybe you're in the spelling bee and you didn't hear the word right and you spell the wrong word or you spell a profane word or you say something and the whole class laughs at you. You know, that, as trivial as that is, it probably does stick with you because of how you felt in that moment. That's what you really remember, is how you felt when it happened.
In ninth grade, study hall, it was Harding, and before they did, when Harding was, well, you know, Grant, and it was the only air-conditioned room in the whole school, if anybody remembers that. So I was one of those good kids that always did my homework, and I popped my desk out during study hall and would go to sleep. And one day, I was snoring very loudly.
Oh.
And it was probably one of the only times I've snored in my whole life, according to the people that have slept near me or et cetera for my whole life. And, yeah, that sticks out in my mind and, because people were laughing, you know, I mean, it was funny, I would have laughed too, and I look back at it now and laugh, but clearly in that moment as 14-year-old in an entire study hall, I didn't see it quite as humorous as I do now.
No, but it left some deep impact, so I think really it's the feeling that you feel. It's not so much the moment, it's the embarrassment that you felt from it, that's what you really cling on. And I don't want to bring this up again from last week, but when I made a remark about the person's legs, and as I say again before,
I forgot to show you mine Monday. Everybody was just so tired that forgot to traumatize you with my legs.
Well, but again with this person, what's funny to me is I had made fun of everything else about them, their hands, their hair. That was just the relationship we had. They had made fun of things with me. It's fine. But
that we're brutally sarcastic with one another. Yeah.
Right. But that one thing is really the only thing that really ever to that degree bothered them. And I thought when I read this article, I thought, you know, there was probably a traumatic event in their life or something happened with their legs that embarrassed them.
PTSD'd them.
Yeah, well, they've got that deep impact in their brain, so it's not really what I said. It just made them remember that traumatic moment.
Yes, you caused them PTSD.
Yeah, well, and
you found their Achilles heel or calf or thigh.
And wasn't even trying to do it. But how do you feel about the Anthony Azaria trans thing? I'm surprised at the feedback on this.
I think you probably know how I feel. I don't care. I mean, I don't understand why other people get so hung up on what strangers do with their genitals, but to each their own, I suppose. But I think it was like 100-ish.
Yeah, like 123. Something
okay,
like that.
Yeah. Who cares?
No, but...
I mean, did they give any of the money? If they didn't give any of the money, then who cares?
Well, it's interesting, because this is an interesting story on two fronts. Number one, the fact that Anthony did it as a press release, so he had no problem talking about it.
Right.
And yet, the fact that people... I'm not saying
this
that...
This is small-town, rural Ohio.
Right.
I know we think we're up-and-coming city, but in the scheme of the census and... the way the state views us and the federal government views us, we are a rural area, and I think we all know how well those progressive ideas fly in these rural areas.
So is that a taboo? Is that something that could hurt him with under 30 days left in the election?
Sadly, I hate to say yes. I hate to say that it's true, but yes, it very likely could.
Well, and I think that's the thing.
I say that because I'm sorry that that's still where we are as a community.
Well, and that makes me think that, didn't somebody in the Democratic Party locally, because I would imagine Anthony is not running the Democratic Party, didn't somebody say, Anthony, we support this, we don't have anything against this, but maybe this is not something you should be doing a press release for with 30 days left to go until the election? Considering the event didn't even happen.
Strategize, is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah.
I mean, it's sad that you have to strategize something that you believe in out of your campaign. However, it's the reason why people run as Republicans and marrying, even though they really aren't Republicans.
Well, it's just interesting.
So if you want to get elected, you have to be electable to the people that go vote, and the people that go vote aren't accepting of those things. The majority of them aren't.
Right. And I just thought, and again, do what you want, run your campaign the way you want, mm-hmm. but will this cost you votes in a low turnout election by releasing a press release? And in the end, do you care? Is this something you feel more passionate about?
Well, I think, I don't know, is the sixth ward already determined, though? And I don't mean, like, is the race 100%? We know that Ron Prater's going to win. I mean, are the people that are going to vote, or have they already set that match? Can you reach another 30 people or change their minds over that post? Did I say 30? Can he reach more voters or change sway voters against him with that post in less than 30 days is what I was trying to spit out. Like, are all the 6th Ward voters, do you think they've already decided, hey, I'm going to go vote regardless of who it's for? I don't think, like, any new voters are going to surface because he gave $123 to a trans organization? Well, we better go vote. We hadn't planned on it before, but we're going to now. No, the people that were going to vote are going to go vote still. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I don't think that's going to sway anyone against him. It might bring out some people for him because, you know, there might be people that are LGBTQ plus, and if I missed something, I apologize. That wasn't my intention. That weren't going to vote and now see a candidate that is appealing to them and decide to vote. But yesterday was the last day to register, so I hope they're registered already.
Well, I'll tell you something that I thought about recently.
I don't know what day it is.
Well, we have this League of Women Voters, which they are going back to the candidates' night.
Yes, and I saw that you're going to be emceeing it.
I am. They asked me to do that. Yeah. Well,
I will be there with trousers and a blazer.
Oh, here we go.
Can we get a picture together, you think?
I think we might be able to do that. We could arrange
You'll have
that.
Your shirt tucked in?
I will, and I'll have a nice sports coat on. You know, you have to do that when you do these events.
But
it's interesting that I've done that, I think 3 times, 4 times, something like that. And then we had, it wasn't a bad parting of the ways. We just had a meeting when I was going to do the fourth one, or fifth one. I can't remember how many I did. But in any event, we had a meeting, and I said, you know, the format of if your opponent doesn't show up, you can't speak, and the fact they gave people big, long opening statements and closing statements, and then they didn't have a whole lot of time for other things. I just thought that the format was not working very well at that time, so I said, I don't think I'm the person to do this anymore. So I didn't do it for a long time, but they came back to me this year and asked me if I would do it, and I said, well, I saw the rules now, and I like the rules. I think
Will you please explain them just so I believe I'm 100%, not like, there's going to be audience questions that are submitted.
Right.
And now all of the candidates will get 1 minute to answer them, or there will be like this block of candidates. That's where I'm sort of unclear. Will we all be given 1 minute to answer each question, or is there, I mean, that could take forever.
Well, right. And here's why I think they changed. And I don't remember exactly the time frame on what used to happen, but here's what used to happen when you had specific races. What it used to be was, okay, let's say there was a 6th Ward race like there is this year. Mm-hmm. If the question was asked, let's say somebody directed it at Ron Prater. Okay, Ron Prater would get a chance to answer that, and then the opponent would get a chance for a rebuttal. Now, I don't think it's that way anymore.
No,
the way
I don't
I read
believe
it.
So either.
Right.
Because the way I read it, it seems like there's going to be a question presented, and we're going to have 1 minute to answer that question.
Right.
But I don't believe, like I said, if 20 people show up, you're not going to get much more than a couple of questions. So I didn't know if they would do, like, these five people will randomly draw a question, and they'll answer that. And then the next block of five people will draw a different question. You know, I don't know how that's going to work, because that seems like it'd be very time-consuming.
Right. So it looks as if this year, the way I read it, is if a specific candidate, let's say somebody addressed a question to you, you would get a minute to answer it, and that's it.
Okay.
So, but if the question was asked of all people running for the charter committee, everybody would get a minute to answer that question. That's good. And also,
so that was my confusion, because I was like, one person and then everybody, and that's where I knew it was 1 minute. I was right, and I just figured I'd wing it the night I got there. So
And then also the same thing with the ward races. I think if it's asked of a specific person, they get a minute to answer it. But if it's asked of the ward, then one person gets it, and then there's a rebuttal of 1 minute.
Okay, so like, what would you do to make the sixth ward better? They could both answer the question.
Right, and you alternate depending on how many questions you have. But it is going to be an interesting thing, because if there are a lot of questions of the charter committee, you're right, it's going to take 23 minutes if everybody shows up to do one question. But I doubt every candidate will show up, and I also, I don't know how many questions there will be of the entire charter commission. There's always more questions than you have time for. That's essentially what the moderator does. They give you the questions, and you try to get as many in as you can during that.
Are you going to gavel me that night?
Well, you know,
I'm going to behave.
We don't have a gavel, but I'll tell you, we are the League of Women Voters are very stringent on those time things. So
Will they glare at me?
Well, no. What normally happens? I do have to stop whoever's talking, if they're talking, and it's usually just, Miss Craig, your time is up. You know, that's
I'm gonna practice, like, getting as many words in 1 minute that isn't a rap song and that's still decipherable between now and then.
My point on this thing is that I happen to believe that this is going to have a bigger impact than it has in the past. We should note
that prior to you hosting Meet the Candidates, Gary Hunter, who is knowledgeable on all things Charter Cities, will be there explaining all things Charter Cities.
Yes, he will.
Will you be live streaming that as well?
I believe so, because they did ask me to moderate that too. So I know that I'm moderating it.
I believe that would be a very, very beneficial if you could.
Yeah, I think we're going to try to do that.
That would really help a lot of people, I think, understand the whole charter thing. And hear from the guy that we will likely hire should we pass this and get some answers from him. That's my request, my plea.
Yeah, no, the only issue we have with that right now is, and it's always been this way with the League of Women Voters, is that they bring in their own sound person, so they give us the sound that we send out over the air from them. So if they're properly mic'd during that portion, then I don't see why we wouldn't. Basically,
I believe that would be very beneficial for people to listen to.
But you know what? I got to get more clarification on that, because I'm not sure if that's me asking him questions or questions submitted from the audience or how that portion works with the Charter Commission. I'm not sure how that works yet.
Well, yeah, that would be some good clarification too, but it seems like he would probably be asking the questions of him and, limiting his time, kind of like we saw the building codes guy. I mean, there's so many weeds that you can get into in the charter that, we're going to discuss this one for 2 minutes, or, this one isn't quite as relevant, or this question begats the next question, that sort of thing. So, I believe in your ability, Spears. I think you're going to do it well.
Well, thank you. I'm just excited because I do think it's going to have impact, for the reason that if you have 23 charter commission candidates. You have 5 at-large candidates, and you have 2 sixth ward candidates. Now, that's well over 30 candidates. Now, if the majority of these people show up, they usually bring people with them. There is a live audience there that night.
It's a small place, too, isn't it?
You can fit a good amount of people in there.
Okay. I haven't been in there in a
but
very
it's,
long time.
But it's, so you're not only speaking to the audience that's watching and listening, but you're also speaking to the audience that's there, which usually is a lot of public officials and people who are brought with the candidates.
Ooh, the who's who?
Yeah, who's who. And it's
Ooh.
Just, when you get 30 people, I don't ever remember doing one of these that had 30 people. Now, we've done them where they had probably 20, a lot of races, you know, a lot of contested races, but I don't think we've ever had 30. And because of the charter commission thing, it will bring it that high, which I think will make the room fuller. I think it'll make the audience bigger. And I think that will have an impact on the voters. And I think how people handle themselves that night will really have an impact in regard to who is voted on to this charter city commission. And if it's going to pass, I mean, are people going to have good answers, or are people going to take this very lightly and think it's nothing big? I don't know.
I don't either. It's going to be interesting to see.
Right.
I really do hope that even if people don't listen to what could, I hope it doesn't just turn into an exceptionally long night, but I'm down for it if so. And like you said, if everybody brings a person or two, there's going to be a lot of people, and I plan on bringing my husband and my son, but I do hope that people will listen to the coverage of the charter commission, what a charter city is, if they don't stick around to endure everybody blabbing for 1 minute of use. So,
well, I'll tell you, it's...
Is that the 21st? Is that the...
21st. Well, the charter thing, I think, happens at 5. It's during the 5 o'clock hour.
Is it 5:30 to 6:30, maybe? I don't know. I don't have it in front of me.
It's something like that, because I know the candidates' night is 7:30 to 9:30.
Okay, so then it's 6:30 to 7:30, because it's immediately before.
Well, no, I don't think it runs...
5 to 6.
I don't think it runs till 7:30, because I think they take a break, at least a half-hour break, in between the two.
Okay, so then it's probably... It's directly before, maybe with a half-hour break.
Yeah. But
so
no, I think it'll be interesting, because if you ask, because obviously there are going to be people there who are for the charter city, there are going to be people there who are against the charter city, there are going to be people there who are for the charter city for a completely different reason than somebody else, and I think that's interesting, because for the first time they'll actually have to speak about it.
As the moderator, I know you're probably not allowed to do this, but if people have questions that they want answered, they can message me with them, and I'll submit them that night. And I mean, whether or not they get read is, you know, I understand we're going to have limited time or whatever, but maybe then one of their questions is the one that is chosen, and it gets asked of everyone. And
yeah,
I don't
what,
care, even if it's asked of me that I'm a hag and whatever, I'll still submit it.
Yeah, I think the process there will be that all questions will be submitted to the league. The league goes through them. They give me the questions that are within what they do. And
so
then,
they have to be submitted that evening, don't they?
Yes, that evening.
Okay.
And
so,
then,
I mean, the people that aren't going to be there wouldn't be able to submit a question.
They used to do it via telephone. I don't know if that's happening or not.
Maybe they could submit them to the League of Women Voters via email. Maybe that's something we could find out.
Yeah, I'll have to find out what they're doing with that this year. They used to do it with a telephone. People used to call in while the thing was live, but I don't know if they do that anymore.
Or were they taking, like, pledges at the phone? You remember the telephone? You have people over there working the phone?
Well, they used to be back in a room, and people would call, and then they would bring me the questions, which, again, really all the moderator does that night is keep time, get the names right, and goes through the questions to make sure we have enough time to get to what we need to get to here. So that's basically my function that night, which is, it's a fun thing to do. But I think, I don't know if they've all accepted this, but, you know, you could have the mayor up there, you could have the police chief up there, you could have Robert Landon up there, you could have you up there, you could have a lot of people up there that have very different views on this charter city thing, and that's why I think it will have some impact. And I also think it's the first time Azaria and Prater will be sitting next to each other, as well as these at-large candidates.
It'll be interesting to see who shows up.
Yeah, I'm interested to see who's going to show up, because I think that will have impact as well. I think if somebody doesn't show up, I think that's going to say something.
I'm sorry, someone was dinging in my ear, and I did not catch the last four words you said.
Well, no, I said, I think if somebody doesn't show up, I think that could have impact on somebody.
I believe so, depending on what their name is.
Yeah, well, I mean, I just think if they don't hear from you that night, and you're not there, people might wonder why that is.
Early voting has started already.
Early voting... You know, though, and I know what people say the numbers are on early voting, but it's not half. It's not even half of the population. And also, that's a statistic they give, but how do we really know what's going to happen in this election?
No, we don't.
We don't.
And that takes me back to another thing about being rural Ohioans, is that a lot of us still see voting day, going to actually vote, as, I don't know, like patriotic duty, you know, and they don't, going to vote early and or mail-in voting or things like that, they don't see it. Like, I know people, well, and I don't disagree, but kind of see election day as a holiday.
Right. So, right, but yeah. You know, I almost, see, here's the thing, when people say that this percentage of people vote early, that almost seems in a way like a deterrent to people. That maybe you don't vote early, and, well, your vote's not going to count because, you know, this many people already vote early. Well, how do we know how they voted, and how do we know that for this particular election that will be the amount that vote early? I don't think we will know any of those things until it's over, so I think you just have to let it play out.
Oh, I agree, and like you said, a low turnout vote is probably not going to get a bunch of early voters.
I prefer to
early vote just for convenience, because there's no line. You walk in, you show your ID, you sign, you vote.
Well, and I would also think at this point, with as little that's been said about the Charter Commission and as little as people are talking about it, I would think you would hope events like this would do well and people would hold off until after the 21st. It's not like the election's the next day. Why wouldn't you want people to have more information?
Yeah, that's a couple of a couple of weeks in between the night that they're having candidates night and election night is the couple of weeks that they gave us, a couple of weeks that they gave us to come up with candidates.
So so you got plenty of time.
I would ask that people, I'm all about early voting. I already know who I'm voting for, though, but if you're unsure, take a pause, listen to Spears' show on the 21st that evening. I think you'd get a lot of your questions answered, see what candidates do and don't show up, and maybe form your opinion after that.
But what an interesting group. I mean, that's what I thought about. I mean, you got yourself, you got Mayor Collins, you got Chief McDonald, you got Mark Russell, you got Jason Schauber, you got Robert Landon. I mean, when is the last time these people have been on stage together?
I don't know. This is kind of just making for more and more dramatic soap operas the longer we go along with it.
I just think it's an interesting group. I mean, I'm sure it'll be fine.
My counselor would say, Naomi, don't do the what if, and that's what I'm doing right now.
I mean, I think it'll be fine. I just think it's interesting. I just think it's interesting to have that group there and listen to, because have we really heard anything? You know, everybody seems to be speaking in very broad terms. I want Marion to do well. I want Marion to be good. I want Marion to stay well. I want Marion to be on the right track. Well what is
if
that?
You read about anyone that's affiliated with the police department, if you go through, you can tell they all have one goal in mind for the charter, and it's strictly the finance position. That's it. They don't want to change absolutely anything else. And basically, it's the police, it's Collins, it's Barr's daughter, and it's Twyla Lang's grandson. So, and the there's a retired sheriff also. So they all have one goal for the charter, and it's to change that one position. That's it. So when you go through and you see that they all have that one single lone agenda, you can't help but think that maybe, just maybe, they're all in cahoots, dare I say?
Well, it's going to be interesting. I mean, less than 2 weeks away.
Hey, I think you and I probably need the instant message about a story that needs to be told.
Oh, so, you know, I started to see that yesterday. That's very interesting.
Yes, it is a very interesting story, and I'd like to talk to you about it, but I think it's probably more than just a phone call.
Oh, yeah. We'll set it up.
All right. Talk to you
later.
Hey,
thanks. Bye-bye. All right. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. And, yes, I will be the moderator of the League of Women Voters Candidates Night, October 21st, starting at 7:30 p.m. that night, running through 9:30. You'll be able to hear that on the station. I thank them for asking me to do that again. It's fun to go back and do something like that. And I think the rules now are very conducive to an event like that. And we'll be covering the 6th Ward that night. We'll be covering the at-large candidates. And we'll also be covering the charter city candidate. So a lot of people up for grabs that night. And it'll be interesting to see and hear them all up on stage together October 21st, 7:30 to 9:30. All right, phone lines are open here. We've got about 10 minutes left this hour. If you'd like to weigh in with anything, 740-383-9944. Or if you have something to say in regard to our earlier subject, most people have a hard time forgetting embarrassing moments. A post from Hartford Healthcare says it's because emotional moments leave a deep impact. Emotional moments far more than good moments. So we're much more apt to remember the embarrassing moments than the good moments, because it's somewhat, I guess it leaves a deep impact on your brain when you have an embarrassing moment. Does anybody have any thoughts on this? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Well, I'll tell you, it was very cool this morning. It's only 41 degrees right now. I did have to turn the heater on in the car this morning. When I was backing out of the garage this morning, it was very, very chilly as I was going out. You know, you didn't drive around with the window down this morning, which we were able to do for quite a while. Well, maybe some people were driving around with the window down this morning. I was not one of them, but maybe somebody was. In any event, phone lines are open with about 7 minutes left in this hour. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz. We've talked about the League of Women Voters Candidates Night. Do embarrassing moments leave a long-lasting impact on your life, on your brain? I think that's interesting. What about this there was a drag show canceled, drag brunch canceled by Anthony Azaria, and a press release released. Will that impact voters in any way? I don't know. It's on the news report this morning. We got a press release regarding it. Is that detrimental to his campaign with less than a month to go? Or maybe is it helpful? I don't know. You know, it's only the 6th Ward for that particular race. I don't know if that'll have any great impact, but people seem to have a lot to say about that. I'm not sure why. I'm not sure what the big hoopla is about that. You know, people are going to do what they're going to do. I don't know. Maybe it's just because it's different. I don't recall an event like that ever happening in Marion politics in the past, but you never know. It's day to day. And again, the phone lines are open here. 740-383-9944. 55 minutes past the hour. If there's anything on your mind on this chilly morning, you know, maybe everybody this morning is under the blanket somewhere, just trying to stay warm, maybe not wanting to turn the furnace on in your house this morning. I don't know. I know it is a chilly morning. People probably had to break out the sweatshirts and break out the heavier clothing today, as opposed to what they've been wearing in recent times. Interesting things going on, to be sure. And also, if there's anything else on your mind this morning, it doesn't have to be anything that I've brought up here. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. You know, I was trying to think of a traumatic, maybe embarrassing moment that has stuck with me over the years because of leaving some kind of deep impact on my brain, and I'm really trying to think of one. I know that I've had them, but I can't think of anything that was really, really horribly traumatic. Now, maybe that's just lucky me, but I just, for some reason, when it comes to the embarrassment area, I can't think of anything that was horribly embarrassing. You know, there are little embarrassing moments, I guess, but I can't think of anything that was just off the charts that would stick with me for the rest of my life. For some reason, that's not coming to me. Does anybody else have one of these moments? I mean, maybe from childhood that stuck with you, a hugely embarrassing moment? I don't know. I think it's interesting. Who knows? A lot of drama you know, I bet a lot of these are from people's childhood, because that seems to be when a lot of these embarrassing, traumatic moments happen with people. But such is life. And again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. And once again, don't forget the big event, Kids Night Out, October 27th, Kroger on Route 95, 5 to 7 p.m. Join them for fun games and spooky prizes. They will also be collecting newly, gently used coats, hats, and gloves that they will donate to the Salvation Army. And the League of Women Voters Candidates Night will air on this station. I will be moderating 7:30 p.m. on Tuesday, October the 21st. It'll be a lot of fun to go back and do that. If you've been listening for a while, you know that I did used to do this. I did three or four of them, and they were always fun to do. It's a fun night. Everybody gets dressed up. Everybody gets, you know, there's a little bit of nervousness in the room, usually amongst the candidates, because they're going to be speaking in front of a live audience, which is there, and it's a pretty good-sized audience, usually. And they don't know what questions are coming. I don't know what questions are coming until I get up to the podium that night. So it's an interesting night. It's a lot of real life tension that is happening in your ear and before your eye. So it's a night. It's a night for people. Now, there have been some memorable moments in past League of Women Voters Candidates Night that I can remember, but they did not deal with me. The only thing you will hear me doing a lot of that night is cutting people off, because a minute is not a long time, and I'm the one getting the time cues, so when somebody's time is up, you will hear me say, Mr. Schauber, your time is up. Mr. Prater, your time is up. Mr. Azaria, your time is up. You know, that's that, and you know, shutting people down in that way when they're in the middle of something is a little difficult sometimes, but that's the job as the moderator. That's the main function that night, besides asking the questions. So there you have it. That will happen coming up right around the corner here on WGH Talk, and we're very proud to be broadcasting that event. And we'll try to broadcast the charter information event symposium if everybody's mic'd up properly that night. So we'll see how that goes. More information as we get closer to the event. We'll be back right after this.
The place for guests like Dean of the White House Press Corps, Helen Thomas, Helen, how do you deal with criticism? Because certainly 10 presidents